think tonight I'll start reading. We've covered the first part of the chapter. I'll start reading in verse 16 tonight. Verse 16 down through verse number 33. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Rome, he said that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about, this is a hard word for me, Illyricum, that's how I would say it. Is that close? Brother Gale, are you laughing at me or are you laughing with me? Amen. I believe he's laughing with me, don't you? It must have been hard for him too. He said, I've fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you, but now having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go into Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are, for if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Father, we thank you for the privilege to read the Bible. And I pray, Lord, tonight that something could be said that would be a blessing to our dear people, that would encourage us and strengthen us along the way. Lord, I reminded now to pray for Brother Rose and Sister Barbara in the meeting. That they're attending the camp meeting in Abingdon tonight. God, would you bless in that meeting? And Lord, wherever your word's being preached this evening, Lord, would you come down in mighty power, help your precious people. God, we're living in dark days. God, I pray that you'd help us to walk in the light in the midst of the darkness. Help us to raise high the blood-stained banner, proclaim to a lost and dying world, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. In thy name we pray. Amen and amen. We began on Sunday morning talking about the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ here. And we're talking about how that it seems like that many of God's people, and myself included, at times are much less than full. The Bible wants us to have an abundant life, not just to have life. You find that when you get saved by the grace of God, but to have it more abundantly. Now, the abundant life or experience the fullness of the blessing doesn't mean that you're without trouble, we're without trials. If any man in this world is a picture of that, it's the Apostle Paul. He had tribulation, he had trouble, shipwrecked, beaten, stoned, left outside the city for dead, perils of countrymen, perils among false brethren. The man was in trouble every time he turned around. I'm reminded of something I read years ago. It was a resume that was turned into a Baptist pulpit committee. And the discussion went, we can't have this man. He can't stay out of jail. But it was signed the Apostle Paul, amen. And Paul wasn't just getting thrown in jail to do a jail ministry, though he did. He was thrown in jail because they didn't like the word of God he was preaching. And he wouldn't give in to their whims. And we talked about in the chapter, trying to just engulf or encapture the chapter around that thought, the fullness of the blessing. And it's seen in the load that we share, first of all. When you have a believer that's looking for someone else's load to help carry, that believer is going to be a lot more likely to be full of this blessing that we're talking about. Every one of us at times, we need to unload. We need to have somebody to share in our burden. I said on Sunday, and it's true, God gives us some burdens to share, but he gives us some burdens to bear. Amen. But the fullness of the blessing comes to those that are willing to share in the burden of others. You know, tonight, this lady that I requested prayer for a while ago, and I'm not even going to say her name on the tape and on the internet, but in heaven, she'll know every lady from Bible Way that helped carry her burden, every man that prayed. And you know what? God's still on the throne. He can still put a home back together. Amen? I'm telling you, he can. And you say, well, I don't understand how a man could do such a thing. How about this? A man after God's own heart did. And worse, he tried to cover his tracks. He had Uriah killed. Amen? And he had to pay a price for it. And this man will as well. But I want you to know God can help if we'll just share in that load. And it'll be a blessing. And then it's seen in the love that we show. We talked about in the chapter that our love is reflected in patience. Our love is reflected in unity. And our love is reflected in graciousness. And then we talked about on Sunday night as well that it's seen in the life that we sow. A life that's full of God's Spirit. A life that's fulfilling God's plan. And that's an important thing if we're going to be experiencing the fullness of the blessing of Christ. Now tonight, I want to get on down in the chapter and talk about a couple of more things tonight and try to conclude the message here in a little while, the Lord willing, the fullness of the blessing. I made this statement on Sunday morning, and it's a good question. As God's people, are we thriving or are we just surviving? See, God doesn't want us just to survive in this generation. He wants us to thrive with the blessing of God, amen, in our heart and in our life. He wants us not just to endure the journey, but to enjoy the journey. How many believes that? That's what the Spirit-filled life is all about. So tonight we've talked about three things. The load we share, that's where you can see the fullness of the blessing. The love that we show, that's where you can see the fullness of the blessing. And then the life that we sow, that's where you can see the fullness of the blessing. Now number four tonight, it's seen in the language that we speak. I want you to see that tonight in the chapter with me, if you will. There's several things that I'm going to be saying tonight, but this part came out in my heart and in my mind from verse 18. Paul said, I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me. Paul said, I dare not speak unless I know that it's something that Christ has wrought, that Christ has put in my heart, that Christ has given me to say. Let me just say by introduction here in this part of the message, the Bible has much to say about our words and about our tongue, about our speech, if you please. The Bible said in Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. The Bible said in Psalm 34:13, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. In Psalm 35:28, and my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Psalm 37:30, the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. In James 1, in verse 26, the Bible said, if any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. Let me just say this to you. There's a whole lot of people that can have one tongue on Sunday and another tongue on Monday. And what James just said, if he can't control his tongue, that man's religion is vain. Amen. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. James 3:5 said, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The other day I went and picked up the grate for the fireplace out here at the shelter. To put it in Donald Trump's terminology, huge. It's a great old big grate. We had to put it up, Brother Gary and I, on a 2x10 and slide it out of the truck. Why? Because he and I aren't man enough to be carrying that thing around. And we slid it into place and pulled a 2x10 out from under it. But you know what? I believe one day God's going to let us see a big fire in that fireplace. But you know what it's going to start with? A little match. That's what James is talking about here. He's saying, listen, the tongue is a little member, but how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And then the Bible said, James 3:6, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Here's a man, the Apostle Paul, that experienced the fullness of the blessing, and it's revealed in his speech. It's revealed in what comes out of his mouth. That, beloved, his speech is not ordained of hell, but it's ordained of heaven. Amen. It's ordained of the Lord of glory. The Bible said in James 3:8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. You say, preacher, I don't understand that. I just thought you said we ought to be careful what we say. Well, the Bible's correct. It always is. No man can tame the tongue, but honey, there's the Lord. Amen. And when he comes in a man's heart and in a man's life, he can tame the tongue. Amen. And he can help us with what we say and do in our life. In 1 Peter 3:10, and I'll move on. He that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. As someone said, you've heard him say many times, watch your language. And I believe that's what God is saying here. If you want the fullness of the blessing, watch your language. Amen. And I believe when we speak like the Apostle Paul, we're going to see some examples in the chapter. I believe when we speak like that, then we're a candidate for the blessing of God in our life, the fullness of the blessing. Let me give you three things quickly about Paul's speech that I want to share with you, the language that he spoke. Number one, Paul was sincere in the language that he spoke. He said, preacher, what do you mean? Look at the verse again, verse 18. He said, I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me. Now let me tell you what Paul was saying. He was not retweeting anything. I don't even know what Twitter is, amen, as far as experiencing it. But I see it in the news a lot. And they say, well, I didn't tweet it, I retweeted it. No, what Paul was saying, listen, I'm not repeating after somebody else. I'm giving you what God gave me. He was sincere in the language
that he spoke. And I like that. He said, I'm not dare going to speak of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and by deed. You know, God called Paul. He never lost his burden for the Jew. But God's calling on Paul's life was to the Gentiles and to speak the gospel to the Gentiles. And he did so, Brother Gale, with sincerity. He wasn't flipping about what God had given him to do. And he said, I'm not going to speak just whatever I want to speak, but he said, I'm going to speak what God tells me to speak, and it's going to help the Gentiles. It's going to help them to be obedient by word and by deed. And then let me give you this. Not only was Paul sincere in the language that he spoke, but Paul was spiritual in the language that he spoke. Let me say this to you tonight. Listen to me carefully right here. A person can be sincere and be sincerely wrong. I believe they're, let me just say it like this. I'm going to say it honestly. Men and women in pulpits all across America that are sincere. How many knows what I just said when I said men and women? Everybody don't believe like we believe. Amen. There are pulpits all across America with women standing in them. There are deacons across America. Deaconettes. Deaconesses. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. There are people been married more than once standing in pulpits across America and being a deacon across. That don't make it right. A person can be sincere and yet be sincerely wrong. I believe the Muslims are sincere. You say, preacher, you shouldn't say that. I've been around them. I've been around bunches of them in the prison system. And I believe they're sincere. Some of them are playing a gang. Yes, they are. Some of them, it's just a glorified gang. Yes, it is. But some of them, many of them, are very sincere in what they believe. But let me tell you something tonight. You can be sincerely wrong. You say, preacher, you said Paul was sincere. That's not enough. We don't only need to be sincere in our language, but we need to be spiritual in our language. You say, preacher, how can we tell? Well, the Bible said here, which Christ hath not wrought by me, look at verse 19, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. You know what I believe tonight? I believe the Holy Spirit of the living God can help us tonight to be spiritual in our speech. Not only to be sincere in our speech, but to be spiritual in our speech. I believe he can do that. The Bible said here, round about, you know that town, I fully preached the gospel of Christ. Paul was spiritual in the language that he spoke. I believe, listen, if you turn over to, where is it? Wait just a minute, I'll find it. Ephesians. Turn there just a moment. Ephesians chapter 5, I believe it is. Ephesians chapter 5. The Bible said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Then the Bible said, look at verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And doesn't stop there. He said, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many of us tonight understand this is the will of God in Christ Jesus? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So, beloved, tonight, Paul was sincere in his language. Paul was spiritual in his language. But Paul was also striving in the language that he spoke. Look at verse number 20. He said, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another's foundation. You know, Brother John Dockery in Sunday school a little while back, he was talking about, he used himself first. He said, I need to do better. I need to strive to do better. What was it, Brother Brian? Was it Brother Mitchell said, I'm not perfect. We're not perfect, but we should strive. Is that right, Brother? We should strive for perfection. In other words, we ought to try. We shouldn't quit trying. We shouldn't lay down. We shouldn't set down. We shouldn't just set back. But Paul was, his language, he was striving. The Bible said here to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named. Paul, he would continue to hear about a region after region after region, and he wanted to go there, and he wanted to speak the unsearchable riches of Christ. He didn't want to build on another man's foundation. He wanted, beloved, to go. I've often said, why should anybody hear the old story twice until everybody's heard the old story once? Amen? And I believe that was Paul's attitude. And why should anybody hear the gospel over and over until everybody's heard the gospel one time? Amen? He strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest he should build upon another's foundation. He said in verse 21, but as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. This is that prophecy concerning the Gentile, how that God was going to graft in the Gentile, and that the Gentile was going to have an open door of opportunity to be saved by the grace of God. Amen. What a blessing that is. What a blessing. So this fullness of the blessing is seen in the language we speak. You see, let's see. If I'm out here and my language is rude, or my language is crude, or my language is carnal, then one of the things that's saying to those that listen is he's just not full. If he was full of the blessing, there'd be something different coming out of his mouth. Amen. The language that he speaks would reveal it. And so it's seen in the language we speak. Then the last thing tonight in the message, let's get down to this. I'm looking forward to this too. It's also seen in the Lord that we serve. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look at verse 22 for just a moment. We're going to go on down through the remainder of the chapter here with several of these verses. Paul said, for which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. Let me just say this tonight. Set out to serve the Lord. How many have already done that? You just set out to serve the Lord. Amen. He's worthy of our service. Well, how many realize this tonight? When you set out to serve the Lord, there's going to be hindrances along the way. And I want you to see right here, we're going to go through this as God gave it to me. Here, we see that, first of all, if we're going to serve the Lord and be full of that blessing, and others are going to see that blessing in our lives, then we're going to have to serve Him in spite of the hindrance. What we're seeing in the political realm right now is a whole lot of what I call fair weather friends. Say amen. Things going good, I'm your buddy. Things going bad, you're on your own. That's right. That's right. I'm going to tell you something right now. Our country's in trouble. We're in bad trouble. When you get down to what you've got to pick from is the two individuals we've got to pick from, we're in a mess. Capitalize every letter in mess and put 2,900 exclamation points after it. We're in a mess. And I'll tell you what God wants us to do, not concentrate on the mess. He wants us to concentrate on being full so that we might make a difference in somebody's life, so that we might make a difference in some sinner's life. We might make a difference in some family's life. I tell you, I thank God the other day when the ladies were over here serving the food, and there were people that fixed food that weren't even over there. But listen, they weren't doing it begrudgingly. They were doing it joyfully. And listen, that fullness will be seen by people that need to get full themselves. There's hindrances, yes. Paul said here, what was it that hindered him? He said, I've been much hindered from coming to you. It was his service to others that hindered his coming to the Romans. He was tied up with others, and it hindered him from coming to them. Now, tonight, if we're not careful, listen to me carefully, There'll be times in our life when even service can hinder us. How many knows what I just said? Even service can hinder us. And Paul said here, he said, I've been much, he didn't just say hindered, he said, I've been much hindered. Here, Paul's service to others hindered his coming. I'm going to just sidetrack for just a minute and go through a couple other verses in the Bible. Sometimes our service might hinder us. Sometimes Satan might hinder us. 1 Thessalonians 2:18, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again. He said, but Satan hindered us. I'm going to make a statement tonight. You don't have to agree with it. I believe in the generation that we live, Satan don't have to fool many people. I believe self gets them a long time before Satan even has to show up. I believe a lot that goes on that's blamed on Satan is nothing more than the flesh and the fleshly desires and going after not the spirit, but going after the flesh. The Bible said here, there's a time when Satan hinders us. Sometimes sin hinders us. Look at Luke 11:52. He said, woe unto you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered it not in yourselves, and them that were entering in, ye hindered. The lawyers, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, sinners, and sin will try to hinder us along the way. Sometimes, if you look at Ezra 6 and verse number 8, the supply hinders us. Look what the Bible said. Moreover, I make a decree that ye shall do to the elders of these Jews, what ye shall do to the elders of these Jews for the building of this house of God, that of the king's goods, even of the tribute beyond the river, for with expenses be given unto these men that they be not hindered. God doesn't want us to be hindered, but what we need to make up our mind, listen carefully right here, is that the moment you decide to serve Him, if you're going to experience the fullness of the blessing, you're not going to experience it without hindrances. You're going to experience it in spite of the hindrances. By the way, I believe that's what a good marriage is made out of. A marriage that goes on, not without any trouble, not without any problems, but in spite of the problems. I believe that's what a good church is made up of. Not a church that says, hey, we'll go on as long as we don't have any problems. No, the one that says, hey, God's on the throne. We're looking to Jesus, and we're going to go on in spite of any problems that we might face. It'd be like Brother Brian having Bible school. Say, well, we'll just keep having Bible school as long as we don't have no problems. God help us. I don't believe we'd be doing it much, would we, brother? Amen. I remember, I don't know if it was that first year or the second year, we had a youngin' missing. And they wasn't even at our Bible school. Mama calling up here looking for their youngin'. Amen. We were running around here looking in closets. We didn't have a basement or we'd have looked in it. Amen. We was looking everywhere for that youngin'. I was about to pass out. Frantic. The Bible said, be careful for nothing. I was being very careful for a youngin' that I thought was missing on our watch. And she calls back and says, never mind. I dropped her off at another church. Then I had flesh to deal with because I wanted to kill Mama. Shoot her dead. Amen. If you wasn't involved in that, you have no idea what was going on. Amen. You say, we're going to have Bible school as long as we don't have any problems. Little girl years ago, when I was at Liberty Baptist Church last night, everybody just having a ball. She's pinning balloons up, and they're throwing darts at the balloons, and you're always worried about somebody getting hit with a dart. What'd she do? Somebody said something funny, and she had one of them tacks in her mouth. She laughed and swallowed it. Off to the ER we go. We're going to serve God in spite of the hindrances. This Eve, we're going to stay together. In spite of you. I mean, in spite of the hindrances. Amen. Amen. Y'all praying for me now, ain't you? Amen. Seeing in the Lord that we serve, we're going to serve Him in spite of the hindrances. How many believes we ought to serve Him in spite of the hindrances? Let me give you this. Number two, we're going to serve Him with a willingness to help. I've got about three things right here that help. A willingness to help. I got to get done here. The kids are waiting on us, and let's get on with this and get done. A willingness to help. We can help each other by our presence. Look at verse 23. Paul said, "But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come to you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you." Let me ask you a question. How many believes the Romans were looking forward to seeing Him? Looking forward to meeting Him? In other words, they had His words, Brother Gary, but they were looking for Him showing up in person. The Apostle Paul was going to come. We can help one another just by our presence. I brought this out in the funeral the other day. In Sister Sue's funeral on Monday, I said, God told us, let me just give you a recap real quickly of the message. A good name is rather to be chosen than silver or gold. And God showed me something, Brother Brian, I'd never thought about before. The good name rather to be chosen. The Weston name is a good name because of choices that Brother Fred and Sister Sue made. They chose to believe the Word of God. Somebody say, good choice, amen. They chose to trust the Son of God. Good choice. They chose to attend the house of God. They love God's people. They love to go to church. And I told the family, I said, listen, if we never get together, I said, you wouldn't know I'm lower than a snake's belly, and you can't help me if we never get together. And if I never get together with you, I actually directed that right to Chris, Randall's son. I said, Chris, if I'm low and we're never together, you can't help me. And if you're low and I'm not with you together, I can't help you because I don't even know where you're at. I don't even know you need help. And so our presence, our very presence, help each other by our presence. Secondly, we can help each other by our provision. He said, preacher, what do you mean? There's a service here with a willingness to help. You say, what do you mean? Look at verse number 25. But now I go into Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are in Jerusalem. I was thinking about my dad the other day. I don't know how many times in my life, Brother Jimmy, my dad, not even knowing, I don't believe he even knew, I don't know how many times in my life that my dad has laid a piece of money in my hand just because the Holy Ghost told him to do it. No questions asked. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say I've done the same with others. And I'm trying to say when there's a willingness to help, beloved, it's not just words. There was something here in a willingness to help by their provision. You know, we can say, Brother Gary, we love them missionaries. But honey, it's more than just saying we love them. It's more than just saying we're praying for them. And we should love them. We should pray for them. But thank God we have the privilege, the best blessed privilege, to be a part of their ministry. The Bible said we could have that fruit that would abound to our account. What a blessing that is. Paul said here, he's going to help By his provision, and he's going to make a certain contribution for the poor saints, which are Jerusalem. I believe tonight we can help each other by our presence. We can help each other by our provision. We can help each other by our prayers. Look at this quickly. The Bible said in verse 30, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." Paul is saying to the church at Rome, y'all pray for me, will you? I don't know how many times I've told you this before. I was saved in February of 1987. How many years will that be next year? Is that 30 years next year? 30 years ago next year. This coming February, about 6 months or so from now. Maybe not even that, 5 months from now. I'll be saved 30 years. And I've had men in prison. I've had women in churches, men in churches. I've had family members ask me, why does God bless you the way He does? And I've always tried to answer the same exact way. There may be more to the answer, but I've always told them, if you go up and down these hills and hollers, how many knows what a holler is? That's in between the two hills. You go up and down these hills and hollers, if you could just know the people that are praying for me. Brother Gale, I don't know how many preachers, God's men that don't even live in Tennessee, men that don't even live on the East Coast, have told me, I pray for you every day. You know what Paul was begging the church at Rome for? When there's a willingness to serve, it comes through a willingness to help. We can help each other through our prayers. There was a prayer here. Let me give you this quickly. There was a prayer for deliverance. In verse number 31, he said that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. How many understands that Paul's life, he didn't have, what do you call it, the secret service to follow him around. He was hated in many circles, and they wanted to do away with him. He was bad for the system that they had always worked under. He was tearing it up. I believe Paul was a whole lot like Jesus in this manner. When he came to town, he didn't speak as other men spake. He spoke as one having authority. He spoke the word of God, and the Spirit of God would convict. And he had an authority. He wasn't speaking out of both sides of his mouth, speaking the truth and then apologizing for it. He spoke the word of God and let the chips fall where they may. So there was a prayer for deliverance. Then there was a prayer for acceptance. In the second part of verse 31, he said that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. What would it be like to be carrying things to Jerusalem, the contribution for the poor saints, and being concerned along the way whether they'll receive it or not? See, you got to go back and think. I think I mentioned this Sunday, but you got to think. This is the same man that locked him up and thought he was doing God a service, the same one that hauled him off to jail, the same one that persecuted him, the same one that Barnabas came alongside and said, hey, he's okay. He's one of us now. You see, there are people in the world who don't believe a man can change. He was afraid that his service would be rejected. What would it have been like, Sister Jennifer, for the ladies, how they not just the ones that served, but the ones that prepared? What would it be like to take a meal somewhere to a home? Somebody meets you at the door. Say, put your stuff in the car. We don't want your stuff. You say, preacher, that's unreasonable. That's what Paul was facing. For this, that, or the other reason, he was concerned. He said, I want you to pray that I'll be delivered. He said, I want you to pray that I'll be accepted, that my service will be accepted in Jerusalem. Then there was a prayer for exuberance. Look at verse 32. He said that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Let me say one more thing. Paul didn't want to just go. He just wanted to go with joy as well. We talked about our service, the Lord that we serve. This fullness is seen in the Lord. We serve in spite of the hindrance. And we serve with a willingness to help. But we also serve, and I want to close with this tonight, with the blessedness of hope. What do you mean, preacher? Look at verse 29, please. He said, "And I am sure that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ." Let me ask you a question. How could he say that? How could he say that? "I'm sure," he said, "when I come to you at Rome, I'll come." I'll tell you in two words how he was saying it. By faith. With hope. He said, "I'm sure that when I come to you, I'll come with the fullness of the blessing." I was looking at this today and thinking about this and meditating on the remainder of the message tonight. And I was thinking that I would say this to you. And it's not just something to say. But 3.5 years ago, I know that God put it in my heart to come here. I want everybody to listen carefully to what I'm going to say, okay? You stay with me. Don't you get mad at me yet. Brother Gary, it's not what I hoped for. Everybody think about that for just a minute. Brother Wayne, it's so much more. Than I could have ever hoped for. My son-in-law said to me today, he said, "There's so many good people at Bible Way." I want to think, Brother Brian, that when Paul got to Rome, that it was everything he hoped for and then some. So much more. People that will pray. People that are not selfish. People that will help. People that I love, the people that love me. How could a man hope for any more than that? There's a blessedness in that hope. Paul said, "I'm sure when I come to you, I'll come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ." I believe with all my heart, a lot of people get married, and it's not what they hoped for. But a lot of people get married. Honey, it's so much more than they could have ever hoped for. Does that make any sense? God wants us to live in that blessing. To live for that blessing. And that's not selfish. Because Brother Thurman, I've always believed in order for me to be a blessing, somebody's got to bless me first. Y'all know his name, don't you? His name is Jesus. Brother John, you've been in that singing group. Depending on where you're from, might be a singing group. Amen. Have you ever prayed, Brother John, and asked God to help y'all to be a blessing? You sing in funeral after funeral after funeral. Brother Ralph and Sister Shelby and Sister Becky sang Monday in the funeral. And I've had people say they did a wonderful job. I guarantee you they wanted to do a wonderful job and they wanted to be a blessing. They wanted to be a blessing. May God help us to serve Him in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. I'm just glad you come tonight. I appreciate you. I really do. And Brother Brian didn't mention it a while ago, but we're going to have a shindig on the 23rd. Right? It ain't got nothing to do with my shins or digging, amen, but we're going to have a shindig. We're going to have a meal after church on the... Is that right, the right date, Brother Brian? The 23rd. And I've already promised Brother Brian that I would eat his part. He has to be out of town. He don't eat much. So not so as you can tell anyway. Amen. I appreciate you, my brother. Appreciate our church, don't you? Amen. Isn't it good to be able to go to church and look forward to going to church? Amen. And be excited about what God's doing. I'm excited about these that are out of sight over here. They're hearing the Word of God. These that are out of sight on the other side are youth and our kids. What a blessing. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your people. This time we've had together tonight. I pray now bless the Word of God to our hearts. Seal the thought, Lord, to our hearts. The fullness of the blessing. Help us not to be running on empty. Running on fumes, they used to say. But Lord, help us to be full, that we might spill over. Lord, the songwriter, I remember years ago hearing a song, I'm drinking from the saucer because my cup has overflowed. God, I pray tonight, help us, Lord, that our cup may overflow in Jesus' name. Amen.